Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. This sequence of letters has a gematria, a number value of 506, which is the same number value as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love. Words that have a similar gematria, a similar number value, have some connection to each other. This sequence of letters is telling us that it's connected to its essence is unconditional love. There's also a name of God called Vav Shin Resh, which deals with memories, but not memory in the traditional sense. Memory in being able to see the patterns in our life that we've continuously do over and over again. This name of God has that same gematria, and so it is connected to the concept of unconditional love. It's a gift of the Creator for us to be able to see these patterns so that we can make changes to them. Givurach kabel rinat amcha sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra and Satan. Kra means to tear up. Satan is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be permutated, rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan. They sound similar, but they're very different. And they translate as small gates. And they hint to us to guard our gates, our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry point for the negative system. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The first three letters, nun gimel dalet, has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah or sustenance. And sustenance is the fulfillment of all of our desires. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that takes back the energy that we've given to the negative system by being given an opportunity to make a correction and failing to do so. Netzach, Barchem Tacharem, Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem. Betet Resh Sadi Tav Gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. Hod Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Yesod, and it helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium, during this, our generation. Shavatenu kabel utzmat tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. The first two letters have a gematria of 400. The last four letters have a gematria the same as the first verse, 506. 400 is a number that represents perfection. It represents 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot within the four worlds. The unconditional love and the pattern, the memory of Vav Shin Resh from the first verse. We learn from this that the path to perfection is connected to seeing the patterns in our life, changing them, and injecting each step in that process with unconditional love. We also have the letters of the month, the Taf, that created the planet we call Lavana, the moon, and the Chet, that created the constellation Sartan, the crab. Together, Taf and Chet have a gematria of 408. Another Hebrew word that has that gematria is Zot, which means this in the feminine form. Zot is composed of the number 7, Zion, and all of the alphabet from Aleph to Taf. There are 7 alphabets, 1 for each of the Sephirot. All of that energy is contained in the month of Tammuz, and the potential is there to achieve significant corrections. But usually our vessels are not strong enough. Usually our vessels cannot handle that much energy. And so we need to protect ourselves, because the Shekhinah, the indwelling presence of God, does not activate during this month. Another metaphor we use is the ozone layer isn't active this month, and so we don't have the normal protection shield that we have in all of the other months. There is a direct connection between the plague of cancer, the disease, and the astrological sign named cancer. And that connection is unknown to Western medicine, that every person who is diagnosed with cancer, that malignancy started during the month of Tammuz. And Hashem gives us the cure before the disease. The cure is to remain happy during this month when you are constantly buffeted by the emotions and the stress of this light moving you to greater and greater emotional patterns. It's also a good thing to look at the Tikkun HaNefesh, if you have it, at this point in this month. This is a process of healing by using the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of God that is too powerful to pronounce. Just by visualizing, looking at the letters, you are receiving spiritual energy. We'll discuss that quite more next week as well. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, but for the purposes of teaching, I say it out loud, because the eighth verse grounds any excess energy that your vessel could not handle that you drew. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vayed. I'm now reading from the Parasha of Balak. Balak is the story in the Bible that he was a witch, a witch of the negative side, the occult, a warlock is because he was male. Balak unified with another prophet of the negative side, Bilam, and we see from their names the energy of doubt, which is the nation of Amalek, is concealed in the spelling of those two names. I'm reading from the section number 2 of the Zohar for this week, Sihon and Og, two additional names of negative people that we can learn different aspects by understanding the name. Verse number 9. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Sihon sacha demadera ava Sihon urt chetzanu demo ava lehava be our known devu moav bain moav vain haemori tachatzi bishata deharivu yisrael karta desihon kiroza itabar bimalhu dishmaya itkenash Eat kenashu guvrin shaltanin al sha'ar amin v'techemun malchu de emora'a hech eat harav b'malchu. Sihon was the desert colt, and Moab's security depended on him. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites, meaning that he was his neighbor and guarded his border. Come and see, when Israel destroyed the city of Sihon, the proclamation went forth in the heavenly kingdom, meaning among the 70 chieftains of the 70 nations. Gather together, you heroes and who rule over other nations, and see how the Amorite kingdom is destroyed. This verse in the Zohar is explaining to us how Hashem rules his kingdom in the spiritual levels. There are 70 nations of souls on the earth, and they each receive their energy through a angelic chieftain. That's what this verse is describing, talking to us about. And they were very frightened, these angelic nations, because they saw the result of Israel. When you treat Israel incorrectly, there is chaos in your world. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes. What do you mean by treating Israel incorrectly? Are you speaking of a literal country? Or is there a metaphorical application?
I'm speaking of the group of souls called Israel. Now, that can be understood from a physical level. People who call themselves Jewish, because at one time before the destruction of the first temple, there were 12 tribes, and there are now only 2 tribes, and most of those are really only 1 tribe, which is called the tribe of Judah, and that's where the name Jewish comes from. Now, if you look at the name Judah, it's spelled in a particular way that has the name of God within it, split by one letter called a Dalet. That Dalet represents the door, because Dalet means door in Hebrew. So a Jew is someone who opens the door between the spiritual world and the physical world. The Jew is someone who wants to go out and travel, various forms of psychic experience. There's another level higher than that called an Israeli, Israel. And that means someone who wrestles with God. Once you've opened the door, now you have to struggle with what that means in your life. And there's a higher level than that, which is the Ivri, someone who's crossed over, someone who's gone out into those spiritual realms and experienced whatever it is they experienced. Now, Bob is going to say that he understands that because he's had some of those experiences, but all of his experiences are considered in the earth plane. He has not yet gone out. There are higher levels that he will learn to do with respect to the Kabbalah. I hope I've answered your question and not caused you to have 42 more, but that's okay. The more questions you have, the better it is. What is your basic understanding of what Kabbalah is? Or please, if I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
Basic understanding of Kabbalah. I don't know.
Well, you know that it's the mystical side of Judaism, right?
Okay. I know that.
You know that it's the result of millions of years of guided wisdom being written down in the Zohar.
Millions of years of revealed wisdom.
Yes.
You've answered my question for the time being. Last week we had our first class, and I don't want to duplicate that class, especially because you do have the background from your own spiritual path that Bob has shared just briefly with me. And I hope you don't mind that he did that.
Of course not.
I'm sorry?
Of course not.
The last week, the main thrust of that class, and we start in this basic class series, we start with people who have no spiritual background, and we have people who have a lot of spiritual background, and we have people who think they have a lot of spiritual background, primarily Jewish people who think they know what the religion is. And so let me clarify that, because Bob mentioned it. The mystical side of Judaism, the word mysticism has no meaning. Mysticism means, if we define it, something we don't understand. And in Kabbalah, there is no such thing that we don't understand. There may be answers that are not yet revealed to us, but everything is knowable because all of us, in a quantum level, can be and are the creator. All wisdom is available to us. Depends on the level of purity that we are willing to reach as to what amount of that wisdom we are able to obtain. Since we're starting these classes on a level, we start right at the beginning. And I hope we don't bore you in this first couple of classes, but by the third class, which is next week, I promise you, you won't be bored. Last week, what we explained to people, and perhaps after the class tonight, Bob can show you the handouts. We explained that the world is an illusion, that what we see is not complete, and even what we do see that we think we see is incorrect. Our senses were created to give us this illusion for a purpose. Now, this week, we're going to talk about what that purpose is. And in order to do that, we have to talk about the process of creation. Now, I'm going to talk in about an hour, or a little over an hour, about creation, and we all know that's really a lifetime study. And that this one class literally is the essence of Kabbalah, and yet it can't be done in one class. But we'll make a good effort.
Question.
Go ahead.
You're saying that there's another class in an hour covering creation?
No, there's a lifetime study covering creation.
But you said in an hour.
This class is in.
This class is about, will take about an hour.
Okay.
And obviously we can't do justice to creation in an hour. But we're going to try and, we're going to answer the question, why are we here? Why was the physical world created? Why were human beings put together with a body and a soul? We're going to answer that question. And to do that, we have to start at a beginning. And there is a beginning beyond the beginning. If we start with the first verse in the Bible, and I don't know what your religious background is, but the first verse in the...
It all starts with a void.
Say again?
It all starts with a void.
A void? Actually, there's something beyond the void. Eastern religions teach that it all starts with the void as well. And there is something beyond the void, and that's where we're going to start. But we need to understand something where how the negative system works. When the Torah was translated from the Hebrew, it was done in a unique way. 70 sages were put in 70 different caves, literally, by a Roman ruler, a Greek ruler, actually, Ptolemy, in Egypt. This was about 500 years before the actually about 1,000 before the Common Era. These 70 people were connected to each other psychically, and they all translated the first verse in the same way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Except there's a problem with that translation. The word Bereshit, which means in the beginning, has no vowels in the Torah scroll itself. So it can be pronounced Bereshit or Bareshit. Bareshit means in the beginning. But the Masoretic text teaches us to pronounce it Bereshit, which means in a beginning. And we learn from this that the world is constantly being recreated, instant by instant. We also learn that there is a series of beginnings. When I was born, it was my beginning. When you were born, it was your beginning. When you reached a certain life goal, that was a new beginning. These are all ways of understanding the concept of beginning. We are taught by Rabbi Ashlag and other Kabbalists that we can go and study up to a point. Beyond that point is the Creator itself. the Creator, as we understand it, it is an extension. It's not the full Creator. It's not everything of the Creator. But in our universe, the Creator is called light by the Kabbalists. They use the metaphor of light because in our physical world, I can take a candle and light another candle. The essence of that action is sharing itself, sharing myself, sharing the candle. There's no diminishment of the original candle lighting another candle. Those two can light four, those four can light 16, and on and on and on. There is constant sharing. And that is the essence of the Creator, sharing. The Kabbalists teach us that there was a thought of creation to be revealed. Not that the Creator lacks anything, but he had, we can't even call it a desire, because we were created as a desire from that thought of creation to be revealed. Once that thought took place, the manifestation took place immediately thereafter. There was no time or space. There just was cause and effect. The Creator had a thought of creation, and what came into being is a vessel. A vessel that would reveal the light, that would reveal the Creator's essence. That is the beginning. Now there's a beginning before that, which was the thought of the Creator. But we're taught, don't bother and waste your time trying to cope and understand the Creator. Because we will not ever be able to do that as long as we are connected to physicality. But we can start at this point, which is called Ein Sof, the endless world. The endless world consists of two aspects, a vessel and the fulfillment of that vessel. Another way of understanding vessel is to use the word desire, because the vessel was created to desire the fulfillment, the light of the Creator. The endless world is exactly that. Its infinity is not a sufficient word to describe the endless world. It is everything, without limits. And in the endless world, in spirituality, something that has affinity with another spiritual essence, they become unified. The vessel is a desire to receive. The light is the fulfillment, the sharing concept. Those are two opposite poles in spirituality. How can these two things be in unity? This is something we cannot understand. It's a paradox that the world starts with. How can receiving and sharing be unified? If the receiving goes into the vessel, if the sharing goes into the vessel, they're still two separate things. There's still a surrounding of an empty space in that vessel that is being fulfilled. They're not unified. And we are taught that in the endless world, the light, the sharing, is unified with the receiving, the vessel. After an aeon of time, because there was no time, after a while, the vessel developed a feeling which is termed bread of shame. It's the idea that if we go to dinner every night, night after night after night, we have a beautiful meal, a beautiful time, everything is exactly the thing we want. And every night, I pick up the bill and walk out with you, and we make arrangements to meet the next night. And I do this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, lifetime after lifetime. What's going to happen to you? You going to like the meal? Initially, yes. But eventually you'll reach a point where you say, I want to share back. Let me pick up the bill tonight. I want to share back to you. But in the endless world, there is only sharing and receiving. And there is no way to share back. Bread of shame is the term of the Kabbalists, which implies the more I receive, the worse I feel. The more I really don't like this. Bread of shame developed in the vessel. It's an illusion. But it's a feeling of the vessel. It's why in our world, the children of the wealthy have the most psychological problems. Because they're receiving and they don't feel they've earned it, which is what Bread of Shame is saying. I want to earn the light. The vessel said to the light, enough. I'd rather die because of this feeling I have. I'd rather die than take anything more from you. Stop sharing with me. The light says, that's a new desire, a desire to have nothing. How do I fulfill that desire? That is the cause of the Big Bang. Creation didn't come from the Creator. The Big Bang, the physical world, didn't come from the Creator. It came from the vessel, who was saying, no more. And so the fulfillment said, okay, the way I'm going to create this world, and this, the vessel and the light made an agreement. And that agreement is, in this physical world, you have to earn what you receive. There's no free lunch. The Big Bang was just the last part of that process of creation that came through millions of worlds and universes and gates and dimensions and all kinds of different terms that we want to use. What science calls the Big Bang is just the final one of our physical universe. And even then there is a process over and over, the supernovas and so forth. The vessel said, I don't want, unless I earn it. The light said, okay, here's where you can earn it. I've created a world that's an illusion where the vessel appears to be separated. You and I and Bob and every other human being and every other animal and every other inanimate object and every atom is part of that vessel. This vessel can share with other aspects of the vessel, but only because it sees the vessel as being separated. You and I are separated by, what, 1,000 miles? But we're really still living in the endless world, together, in unity, with the light. But in this world, it has the illusion of lack, because I have to earn the fulfillment. The Creator created time as part of that process. The purpose of time is to inject distance, space, between cause and effect. If I do an action that earns the light, I don't necessarily receive my payment immediately. There's a distance of space. It might be a lifetime. It might be next year. It might be 20 years. It might be in 1 minute. These different distances of time relate to cause and effect, relate to how the sharing takes place, how the fulfillment is received. The Creator said to us, you have 7,000 years to remove bread of shame from you, to earn the light. At the end of that 7,000 years, if you haven't succeeded on your own, I will cause you to succeed. I will tear that feeling out of you. You will no longer have it. I will recreate you without it. But you want it. There's a reason why you have to have this bread of shame in order to truly develop your desire to reveal what I ask you to reveal, because there can be no coercion in the spiritual world. So we've been given 7,000 years. That's 1,000 years for each day of creation. We're in the year 5772 from creation. The first 2,000 of those years, there was no time, because the sun and the moon were not created till the fourth day of creation. So the first 2,000 of those years really could be 13 billion years old, 13.7 billion years old, which is what science says today the age of the physical universe is. But we have 7,000 years. The last 1,000 years is the Shabbat. It's the day of rest. So we really must do all this work in the 6,000 years and then receive the effect in that 1,000 years of Shabbat. We only have 228 years left to do this work. And this is the reason why in our generation we have plane travel. We have everything speeding up. We can cross long distances. We can interact with people across the world by phone and internet and all of the different technology. The purpose behind the technology, which is a revelation of the Creator, the purpose behind it is so that we can speed our process of interacting with each other and correcting the mistakes we've made in earlier lifetimes, and therefore remove bread of shame in this process. This is why we are in this world, to remove bread of shame. This is why this world was created, for our benefit, to remove the bread of shame, to earn the fulfillment. Any questions?
I have a question about the month of Cancer that we're in right now.
Yes.
And did you say that this would be a difficult month for people emotionally?
Yes. The month of,
that would be true every year?
The energy is the same every year, but it's different because it's a different year.
Uh-huh.
So time has an energy just like everything else. So as we go through the cycle of time, there are 12 different energies, one for each month, that we deal with in the cycle of a year. And within the cycle of a year, we have the potential to complete our correction and leave this world. All it takes is going through and correcting those 12 different aspects. But we don't do it. It's too, for whatever reason. And so we live a lifetime of 120 years, now at 190 years, growing to the level of 300 years and eventually to the 1,000 years that Adam was supposed to live. He only lived 930 years so that he gave 70 of his years to King David, who was supposed to end up being stillborn, because King David represents Malchut, the lowest Sephirah, while Adam represents the first Sephirah of Keter. So King David was to have been stillborn. The Keter loaned him his 70 years. That's just a metaphor that I'm speaking of. And I got a little sidetracked with that, but just to understand the cycle of time, and we will have two full classes on the Hebrew calendar, because it's not just measuring time. It's telling us about the energy that's in the universe in a particular day, in a particular week, a particular month, a particular year. So the month of Tammuz has the energy dealing with emotions. And the month of Tammuz in this year will be different slightly from the month of Tammuz from last year and the month of Tammuz from next year. Because the years being different, the energy is slightly different. Our location in space is slightly different, significantly different, because the sun travels so rapidly. All of that is part of what's built into the Hebrew calendar and teaches us many different aspects, as we will learn.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments about this class? This is the reason why you were born, to remove bread of shame, to make a correction, which is the Hebrew word tikkun, with another person. Every person who comes into your life comes into your life as a mirror for you, to see what you do wrong, to see what you want to change about yourself, to help and assist you in arriving at that difference, arriving at that change. Without other people, we could not see what we are. I'm perfect until somebody talks to me. Now I gotta look at what is being said, because that person is a chariot for the message of the Creator. Hanoch, change something. Grow. Do your spiritual work. This is the nature. We are taught from the sages that we are to think of ourselves as the whole universe was created for us. And at the same time, we are to think that we are nothing but putrid sperm. And how to balance these two perceptions and feelings is how we keep balance in our lives. When we are egotistical, the world was created for me and everything I do is correct, we have to remember where we come from. A putrid essence of sperm. And when we are feeling low and depressed and out of sorts, we have to remember we're really important because the universe was created for me. This is the level of creation. This is the gift of our Creator. We are here to do our spiritual work. But most of us get lost. We get attracted to that beauty and pleasure of the physical world. And it is pleasurable, and it is beautiful, and it's supposed to be enjoyed. How do we balance the spiritual work of making changes, of removing bread of shame, with the idea of the pleasure associated with the spiritual world? Cain and Abel brought sacrifices to the Creator. Without going into what are sacrifices and why we need to do them, Cain brought his sacrifices and the Creator didn't accept it. Abel brought his sacrifices and the Creator did accept it. This created jealousy between Cain and Abel and caused Cain to kill Abel. But Kabbalah teaches that no one dies, nothing happens in the physical world that isn't a spiritual cause. So what was the mistake that Abel made that he had to die? Because Cain didn't really kill Abel. Abel killed himself through his lack of spiritual work. In the Torah, it says the following. And Abel also brought a sacrifice. The word also implies that it was secondary, that he was dealing with the physical pleasures of this world. He wasn't doing his spiritual work, but his sacrifice was accepted because he brought the best of what he had. And in that sense, he knew what was right to do. But in the rest of his life, he wasn't doing his spiritual work because he also, in a secondary thought, brought a sacrifice. These are the codes and the lessons that are built into the Bible, built into the Torah. And that's what the Kabbalah uses, because the Torah itself is the blueprint of creation. We are taught that God looked into the Torah and created the worlds. Every person who ever exists or ever will exist is written into the Torah. They're referred to in the modern parlance as Bible codes. Your name is there. You are there. Bob is there. I am there. Where exactly? There are programs and there are techniques to find it. But a lot of it comes from your name. And that's one of the most important aspects, learning who you are, because your soul and your name have the same essence, the same energy. What you learn about your name helps you understand what you came into this world to change. When you were born, the choice you made astrologically teaches you what your corrections are. the family that you chose to come to that are the best environment for you to learn your spiritual work, to learn your spiritual correction, your life lessons. All of this can be analyzed if we stop looking at the physical as the cause and start understanding the spiritual causes. The Zohar teaches us that an angel does, a blade of grass does not grow until an angel comes and hits it and tells it to grow. It's another metaphor for us to understand how involved the Creator is in our creation. We do not have to finish the work. We just have to start it. The Creator will finish it. The Creator will assist us in finishing it. Our work is a process. Our work is not the goal. That is also a paradox. Welcome to the world of creation. Welcome to our physical world. Welcome to the study of Kabbalah. This is a lifetime study, as I think you can imagine. Any questions or comments?
I have another question about at the very beginning you mentioned the hole, I think you mentioned a hole in the ozone layer.
I used it as a metaphor, yes. I said during the month of Tammuz, the ozone layer is not active. It doesn't protect us.
That's true every year.
Yes.
Is that true? That is, and so, now the reason this is of such interest to me is that I have a kiva, which is this underground, it's 9 feet down in the earth, it's all earth. It's a place of ceremony for the purpose of earth healing and for healing of people. And my spiritual masters, I met with them just 2 days ago, and they are going to do a ceremony in my kiva on July 13th. And they told me that they want to do a ceremony for the healing of the ozone layer, the hole. They want to heal the ozone hole in our atmosphere on this ceremony on July 13th. Because there's too much radiation, harmful radiation coming in, and it's not protecting our planet, it's not protecting the prana, the plants, and the animals right now. So I was just found that fascinating that you mentioned that and they mentioned that.
We have different paths, but they're the same. Our goal is to get closer to the Creator. That is the purpose of all spiritual paths. Your masters have received their instructions, and that it very well may be appropriate for them and for you to do. This is going to sound a little egotistical, and I don't mean it to be. The way the Kabbalah looks at the different spiritual paths is there's a different spiritual path for each nation that we mentioned in the Zohar we read today. There are 70 nations. Each nation has a path to get closer to the Creator. The Jewish nation, the Israelite, has a spiritual job of bringing energy into the physical world. The 70 nations have the job of spreading that energy around the world. So there would be no one to say to us, the Creator wouldn't say to the Jewish nation, draw, fix the hole in the ozone. In fact, we are taught that that ozone hole must happen because as we get closer to the end times, the light of the Creator will become more intense and people have to build their vessel slowly but surely to handle that. And that the sun itself can never be harmful because the sun represents the light of the Creator. And the light of the Creator always is asking the vessel, how much do you want? I want you to grow larger. I want you to grow to reveal more of me. How much do you want? I cannot give you more than you ask for. That conversation is constantly taking place. As an example or as a metaphor, if we think of the electrical current in the walls of our homes, I can put a lamp that's a 200-watt bulb lamp or a 100-watt bulb lamp or a 10-watt bulb. The electricity in the wall is the same. How come there's a difference in the capacity of the bulb? Why does it not reveal more light and blow apart, God forbid? It's because there is a conversation that takes place between the electricity representing the light, the fulfillment, the sharing, and the receiving, the bulb itself. The conversation goes something like this. How much do you want? You want 200 watts? Here's 200 watts. You want 1,000 watts? Here's 1,000 watts. I'm endless. How much do you want? There's no need to heal the ozone layer because the sun cannot hurt us. The animals is something else because the animals represent a reflection of us. And so from that standpoint, maybe the ideas for the human vessel, the human part of the vessel, to grow, to cover and protect the animals. I don't mean to put things in conflict. And another metaphor that is used, if you go to build a house, you have an idea that you want to build a house or a building. And so you go and hire an architect to develop the plans. And when you go to bid the job, you go to a plumbing contractor and you give him the plans for the plumbing. You go to the drywall contractor and you give him the plans for the drywall. You go to the electrical contractor and give him the plans for the electrical. You go to the yard people and give them the architectural design for the yard. But somebody has to manage all of these different groups. The Kabbalah is that management system for the spiritual work. The other paths are correct for the people involved, but they're not doing the total. The purpose of the Kabbalah is to keep balance between all the different contractors. I hope I haven't upset you with my answer to your question. Any other questions or comments? It doesn't make what I'm saying correct. There's things that you can learn from the Kabbalah that will help you within your own spiritual path. And that is what you need to realize. there is no coincidence as to why you met Bob and as to why you decided to join this class. It may be right for you, may not be right for you in the long run, but there will be things that you will learn that will assist you in your spiritual path. And your masters are correct. During Tammuz is the best time to do the work that they are talking about doing. Because this is the time when that ozone layer is not active. Now, science will tell you that it's active, it's not active all the time because there's this hole in the ozone layer. The world is an illusion. We do not see everything that goes on. We're not aware of everything that goes on. But together, we are aware of everything and know everything. There are spiritual people in this world, concealed, who know what's going on. They know that it's correct. If it's inappropriate for your masters to do this work, they will be stopped. If it's appropriate for them to do this work, they will be allowed to proceed. Cause and effect. Any other questions or comments?
Great questions. I'm quiet tonight.
I noticed.
I'll try to make up for it next time.
Well, I can see you're happy too, which is more important. This is a month that it's very difficult to be happy because the energy of the universe is pushing us to emotional highs and lows. It's hard to stay happy. You can be happy one instant and fall the next. That's the energy in the universe, and it's up to us to stop that reaction, and we'll talk about that in later classes. Any other questions?
No, there's another man who may be here next week.
Okay.
I'll send the usual amount to the usual place.
Okay.
For you.
All right. Are you the usual amount in the usual place? And I'm not asking this for my own result. But Ankara will be participating with that, or should I have that discussion separately with her?
You should have that discussion separately with her. If she wishes me to funnel the funds for her, then I will.
Okay.
But that's her own thing.
Ankara, what I teach is called Torah. It's Kabbalah, it's Torah. It is information that it represents energy. I teach it because in my worldview it cannot be charged for, so it's for free. But we live in a society where my bills need to be paid, so I ask for donations. It's up to you to exchange energy for energy. I'm sure you know that law, that spiritual law. It's up to you how you do that. You do not have to share directly back to me. As long as you are sharing either the information or making donations or doing things that are appropriate for what you feel is correct. I will teach you whether you make a donation or not. No one is turned away for the lack of a donation, for the unwillingness to make a donation. I don't have that discussion. I just want you to be aware that it's very important to exchange energy for energy. On a practical level, Bob makes a donation every week or every time into my checking account. If you'd like to have him do that directly, or if you'd like to keep that information separate from him, or if you just want to do it. I have different techniques of making donations long distance, whether it's through PayPal, whether it's collecting on a credit card, whether you send me a check, or you just don't answer me and don't discuss it, as long as you know that the energy needs to be shared. It's all about bread of shame.
PayPal works great for me.
I'm sorry?
PayPal works great for me.
Okay. Bob can write out my email address, and feel free to send out whenever it's convenient for you. And I would appreciate it.
Okay.
I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Henner.
Talk to you soon. We'll see you next week. I'll look forward to it. It was good meeting you, Ankara. I hope you enjoyed the class.
I did. Nice to meet you.
Shalom.